Good day and welcome to the Pacific Edge Full Year Financial Results 2017 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded, and at this time I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Darling. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Thank you and welcome to everyone. On the call with me today is Kate Rankin, our CFO, and Chris Gallagher, our chairman. I will talk through the financial results and key events for the 2017 financial year, and then an overview of our focus for 2018. We'll have time for questions at the end, and if any media are on the call, I'm happy to speak with you separately after the call. The 2017 financial year was one of continued growth, both in our sales and market development, but also in building out our foundations in new product offerings, new product launches, and peer-reviewed scientific publications, all of which underpin our sales and revenue going forward. Our commercial focus remains on building adoption and sales of our Cxbladder products, particularly in the United States. We are gaining momentum in the execution of our commercial strategy, as can be measured by the many achievements during the year. In particular, we have made significant progress with the large-scale organizations we are targeting, which have the potential to be transformational for our company. We have seen increasing adoption by healthcare providers and insurers, helped in part by multiple clinical and utility studies produced and published during the year, all of which validate the superior performance of our products. Cxbladder significantly outperformed all of the compared FDA urine tests, as a big statement to be made in an international clinical journal, a peer-reviewed international journal. We also expanded our suite of Cxbladder tests with the launch of our fourth test at the end of last year. Our positive traction is reflected in our growing sales, with operating revenue up 62% on the prior year to $8.1 million. This excludes any contribution from transformational customers, which have yet to come online. As usual, we reported a stronger second half, with one of the key drivers being the American private health insurance patients who reach their fixed deductible level and then start to undertake the medically recommended actions and treatments, which will be reimbursed by their insurance company. It's one of the key drivers of the US healthcare revenue cycle. User programs remain an essential part of our adoption strategy, and a growing number of clinicians across the US, New Zealand, Australia and Singapore are engaged in user programs as part of their adoption cycle for Cxbladder. This underpins our increasing commercial sales and reimbursement from private, public, healthcare organisations and insurers. Laboratory throughput, which includes product sales and user programs, increased by 35% to more than 11,000 tests. As you can see, the majority of our year-on-year growth is from product sales. Several factors in FY17 affected our revenue growth, including the commercialization of scale customers. We are dependent on decision-making and internal processes of these large enterprises and federal organizations, much of which is outside of our direct control, and it has proven to be more time-consuming than expected. In addition, we also took the decision to delay the official launch of Cxbladder Monitor in the United States by a few months to coincide with the publication of the scientific paper validating its superior performance. This was an important part of our launch strategy and has received favourable industry PR and broad recognition. Media coverage of the purported changes to Obamacare had a short-term impact across the wider healthcare sector in the second half. However, over the longer term, Pacific Edge expects a positive impact from newer legislation, such as the recent launch of the Medicare Access and CHIP Reauthorization Act in January 2018, the MACRA Act, which introduces a new merit-based payment model that moves physicians away from fee-for-service payments to quality and value-based outcomes, a sweet spot for Cxbladder products. Finally, grant revenue was impacted by changes in the Callaghan Innovation Grant Scheme, which means that international investment in R&D is no longer claimable. We have a growth strategy with four main areas of investment: people, intellectual property, market expansion, and product development. Compared to the previous year, we had higher people costs with an expanded US sales team of 18 sales executives compared to 12 in the previous year. We developed and launched our fourth product, Cxbladder Resolve, officially launched Cxbladder Monitor in the US, and continued to investigate the opportunity in Southeast Asia. Intellectual property continues to be the cornerstone of all of our commercial initiatives and is an essential part of our business strategy. We had 8 of our patents granted and issued in 24 countries and geographies in FY17, an outstanding outcome. Other additional non-cash expenses in FY17 were $2.9 million of non-cash expenses associated with the wind-up of the employee incentive scheme, and a conservative position taken by the board to write off $3.2 million in bad debts and a provision for doubtful debts. These are largely aged receivables, mostly CMS patients, and despite the write-off, remain a target for further recovery. Excluding these two non-cash items, operating expenses of $24.3 million were comparable to last year. Overall, Pacific Edge reported a loss of $21 million for the financial year. After adjusting for that combined $6.2 million in one-offs and other expenses, the total loss is an improvement of 4% on FY16. Net operating cash flow deficit of $17.9 million was at a similar level to last year, with the 116% increase in receipts from customers and grant income offsetting the higher expenses in FY17. Pacific Edge remains debt-free, with our funding for growth coming from sales revenue, shareholder capital, and technology grants. We completed a successful $8.75 million share placement in February, and as at 31 of March, we had $14.6 million in the bank. These funds are being invested into commercial growth as we move towards attaining a cash flow positive position for the company. The commercial opportunity for our company is significant. There are three major components of the opportunity. Firstly, hematuria, blood in the urine, is a major symptom of bladder cancer, and these patients who present to the clinic for evaluation for the presence of bladder cancer are the key targets for some of our products. The incidence of hematuria is very high. Up to 7 million people present with hematuria each year in the US alone. Secondly, bladder cancer is the 9th most common cancer in the world and the 5th most common in the US. Due to its high recurrence rate, it has the highest total medical cost of any cancer, approaching $240,000 over a patient's lifetime. And third, but not least, the clinical guidelines require patients to adhere to a regime of continual monitoring and checks, sometimes up to 5 times per year for 5 years. And with a 70% recurrence rate for bladder cancer, some patients may be monitored for the rest of their life. Invasive and expensive. Pacific Edge now has 4 tests in the market and is the only company in the world to offer a suite of molecular diagnostic tests in bladder cancer that address different needs throughout the detection and management pathway, a dominant position. Each of our products has a specific role in the clinical pathway, and all of them offer a more effective, accurate, and non-invasive diagnostic option for bladder cancer patients and clinicians. The US remains our primary market, with millions of patients presenting with hematuria, thousands of urologists, and millions of potential test opportunities. We have a very experienced management and sales team in the US, ably led by Jackie Walker and Jack Atchison, and supported by our subsidiary board of directors who have an extensive in-market experience. While much smaller, New Zealand and Australia remain important for us. South Asia is a new market opportunity which we are continuing to investigate, and could potentially be even larger than the US. Tests from New Zealand, Australia, and Singapore are all being run in the company's dedicated CLIA certified lab in Dunedin, New Zealand. We are gaining traction in all of our markets with increasing adoption and coverage from private and public healthcare organisations and insurers. We have identified four transformational organisations in the US and are making good progress. In particular, we are now in contract with the VA and TRICARE, which gives us access to a combined 20 million plus military personnel in the US and their families. Since 2013, we have signed agreements with four of the largest national provider networks in the US, which makes Cxbladder available to a significant proportion of US residents. This secures a contract price and smooths the path for reimbursement for all providers and payers in the network. This year, we announced the signing of two large public healthcare providers in New Zealand who have adopted Cxbladder into their standard of care. Private insurance coverage in New Zealand with the two of the largest insurers, Sovereign Insurance and NIB, providing their customers with access and coverage to our products. Our commercial journey in the United States is still in the early stages, and while we are a small company, we are making excellent progress. In addition to our transformational customers, we are continuing to target large urology groups with sales now moving at pace. With these and other larger organizations, user programs remain an important part of our strategy. Following expansion of the team last year, we now have a sales force of 18 specialized sales personnel working in targeted regions to build awareness of our products, encourage trial and adoption. One of the highlights of the last year was signing a federal supply schedule agreement and agreeing a price with the Veterans Administration. This allowed us to start marketing our product to the VA clinics and urologists. We've identified five large clinics as our initial focus, and our sales team have been working hard to encourage adoption. We expect several of these clinics to incorporate Cxbladder into their clinical practice in the near future. TRICARE provides coverage for 9.4 million active military and some veterans. Combined with the federal supply schedule contract for the VA, we're now able to provide Cxbladder to all active military and veterans. We have negotiated a price of Cxbladder tests for patients covered by TRICARE. We're approved as a provider in October FY17, and our sales team are leveraging existing relationships with high volume sites in targeted areas. Kaiser Permanente serves more than 10.6 million members and offers a significant opportunity for our company. Last year, we successfully completed our largest user program yet, and the results were positive and compelling. Kaiser have ratified the results with their own analysis, and these study findings will be submitted for scientific publication this year. We are now in commercial negotiations with Kaiser and hope to conclude these shortly. Good progress is also being made with the regulatory process to obtain a local coverage decision, which will enable reimbursement for patients covered under the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid. This is an iterative and lengthy process which everyone must follow. Once we receive our inclusion in the LCD, we will be able to receive reimbursement from the CMS and move to enter into contract with private payers. Early last year, we announced a new partnership with Tolmar in Australia. They have a team of salespeople working in the urology sector. They are leveraging their existing relationships in the market and sell our products. We have established a base in Singapore, and we are currently running user programs with two large hospitals, and we're working to sign up more user programs as we build awareness of our tests for both patients presenting with hematuria and medical tourists coming for regular checkups. New Zealand is a smaller commercial opportunity for us, but very important, and it serves as a good trial for similar executions in other markets. Our products are in use by a majority of the DHBs, and coverage has been approved by two large private healthcare insurers. Our aim has always been to create a one-stop shop of Cxbladder products that provide physicians with a suite of products that enable more accurate and effective detection and management options at all stages of the bladder cancer pathway. In December 2016, we officially launched Cxbladder Monitor into the United States. We also launched our fourth test, Cxbladder Resolve, into New Zealand. We now have four tests in the market and will continue to identify and develop new target tests
that meet clinical needs.
The US launch of Cxbladder Monitor was timed to coincide with the publication of two scientific papers which validate the superior performance of the test and benchmark the test to other procedures currently used by physicians. In summary, these papers showed that Cxbladder Monitor significantly outperforms all compared FDA-approved urine tests for bladder cancer, and it delivers a superior performance in ruling out patients who are presenting for an evaluation for the recurrence of bladder cancer who have a low probability of having that cancer. In a separate study published during the year, the use of Cxbladder Triage and Cxbladder Detect led to compelling changes in urologist decision-making, with fewer total tests and less invasive tests. This implies a reduction in total healthcare costs and an improved experience and outcome for patients. These published peer-reviewed clinical papers are a key element of our market entry and product adoption. They are essential for validating our products with major healthcare providers and funders, particularly in the US, and as well as encouraging adoption and changes to the standard of care. A key focus for us in FY18 will be to get more recognition in the standards of care. We increased our marketing efforts in FY16, particularly online, which provides a cost-effective platform to reach a large number of consumers and healthcare professionals. Our most recent campaign has been around Bladder Cancer Awareness Month, with social media outreach, online advertising, as well as posters in airport bathrooms around New Zealand. We've maintained a consistent growth strategy and are delivering on our planned outcomes. Moving forward, you can expect to see more of the same as we continue to focus on gaining traction in the US and our other targeted markets. The US remains our primary focus for growth and will be our main area of investment again. In particular, we're looking to bring Kaiser Permanente on as a customer, build commercial relationships with the VA practices that we are targeting, and gain our local coverage decision for the CMS. We'll also be working closely with Tolmar Australia to build awareness and increase sales in Australia and encouraging uptake by the remaining DHBs in New Zealand. Our investigation into Southeast Asia will also continue this year, with more large hospitals and clinics entering the user programs. In line with our usual launch timetable, we'll be looking to launch Cxbladder Resolve into Australia this year, with a commercial launch in the US towards the end of the year, coinciding with an accepted publication of the product performance. We're making strong commercial progress and expect to see sales continue to grow in FY18 as these large-scale organizations transition into commercial customers and build significant sales volume. Thank you all for listening, and I'll now pass back to the operator to manage any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question on the call today, you can do so by pressing star 1 on your telephone. And please ensure the mute function on the telephone is switched off to allow the signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Chelsea Lederbetter from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks, moderator. I guess if I could just start with some of your comments around increasing your marketing expenditure for the year ahead. How should we be kind of thinking about that incremental cost and sort of the areas that's going into, and what other key cost sort of increases should we be expecting for, you know, the year ahead?
Thanks, Chelsea. Marketing costs for us are relatively small. The centres for our focus really spin off the social media and the investment that we make in these peer-reviewed scientific publications. We get very good coverage from magazines and in-trade newspapers such as Genome Web and Urology Times, which were quite recent additions to our advertising campaign, or I guess there were the awareness from customers who have reached out and wanted to follow the success story of Cxbladder Monitor.
So to think about the year ahead for FY18, should we be thinking about a similar level of cost structure in the business as what we've seen in FY17?
Yes, that's correct, Chelsea.
Okay. And so the second area of questioning, I appreciate the materiality of Australasia versus the US, but just to understand a little bit more detail around the operating revenue from New Zealand over FY17, it seems to be fairly flat on last year. And can you provide a little bit of granularity around that and whether there's any revenue from Australia coming through that yet?
Thanks, Josie. Yes, there is some revenue coming through from Australia, but it's quite small. We're in the process of closing out with some large institutional customers in Australia, and we hope to see those drop to the bottom line. New Zealand has seen a progressive increase in uptake across the board from the district health boards, and we'll expect to see that continue to grow into FY18.
Okay, and last area of questioning around receivables, and appreciate you provided a little bit of colour on the bad debts being from CMS-related sort of test expenditure. Can you give a bit more granularity on what sort of the receivables relate to on your balance sheet and what sort of time frame of tests relating to CMS that's kind of relating to? Is it the sort of prior 12 months of tests being done with CMS customers or 6 months or 18?
I'll pass this across to Kate Rankin, our CFO, to provide you an answer to that. Chelsea?
Hi, Chelsea. Thanks for the question. Look, I can't go into that many details on the actual split of what it's made up of, but obviously the receivables balance includes all of our outstanding claims that are out there with the insurance companies. We use our billing and reimbursement company, Quadax, in the US to give us some advice in terms of what we should keep on our books, what we shouldn't keep on our books. And obviously we've made the conservative decision to put through some bad debts and some doubtful debts this year. So what is on our books, we still believe to be collectible.
Okay, thank you very much. That's all from us for now.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We will now take our next question from Ian Graham from Woodward Partners. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi, David. Chelsea actually asked both my questions, but I just thought I'd can we just talk about the New Zealand revenue again? I mean, the first half, I think revenue was $193,000. Second half was $104,000. So half what it was in the first half, despite some good accounts coming on board. Can you maybe just cover that off again? Why second half revenue is actually down so much in New Zealand? I know it's a small figure, but I guess it's in the scheme of things, but it is intriguing.
Yeah, no, the main drivers behind those numbers, Ian, are just the timing of the DHBs transitioning through the various programs that they're running at the time. So we've got a strong slug that came through in the first half, and then was a relatively flat in the second half. But we're getting strong growth and strong take up by these DHBs. We'll see an increase in this in the first half of FY18 coming from these guys.
Okay. And just another question was on bad debts. Can you just help me understand how a urologist doesn't pay his account, how it actually becomes a bad debt? I mean, it does seem odd that.
Yeah, sure. Most of those bad debts are associated with the US market. And the US market, we, as the laboratory owner and manager, run the tests, and we recover the revenue from the customer directly. So we invoice the customer's insurance company, and the customer's insurance company will determine whether or not they will pay us some or all of the amount owed by that customer. If they have a deductible program, well, we are required to chase the customer for their deductible component. Or the component that would be included in the deductible of their policy. If they have a copay, then we'll chase the customer for their component of the copay. And if the customer has a combined deductible and copay position that requires the majority of the money to be extracted from the customer. We have an assist yep. program that helps the customer with what could be quite a sizable payment for the service of sex bladder.
Okay, well, that's good. So, and so most of the bad debts line with just the deductible side of things, not the insurer per se saying, look, no, that's
no,
a payer.
Most of the bad debt is associated with aged receivables where we've had them invoiced into the CMS and they're sitting there waiting for a local coverage decision. And we took the conservative perspective that, you know, we may not be able to recover all of that money because of the amount of time that they've been sitting there waiting for their local coverage decision. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't recover them. And if we attain our local coverage decision in the near future, then we can come back and have another go at recovering that money.
Okay. No, that's great. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, you can do so now by pressing star 1 on your telephone. There are currently no questions over the audio at this time.
All right, thank you, everybody. That's we'll conclude the conference call.
Pardon the interruption. We do have one more question lined up. We will now take a question from Andrew Oat from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, David. I've just got a couple of questions, one to do with urologists and the other one with your R&D. I see your R&D's gone up from $10 to $14 million, which I do like the look of. I'd just be curious whether you can just tell us a bit more about what you're doing with the R&D.
Sure. Thanks, Andrew. Good question. It's a little bit hard for us to talk about some of the programs that we're running without disclosing, you know, the focus of some of the products we have in place. But we have some pretty big pushes on in the last 12 months to bring those products through to fruition, and that includes, you know, clinical studies. Some of those expenses we would have normally claimed back through our Callaghan Grant R&D program, but they're focused outside New Zealand and were non-claimable. So that accounts for part of the program. We are looking at new technologies that will make CX Bladder operate sharper, smarter, better. We're looking at other tests that we can bring forward into the market. We've been evaluating some other value propositions that we think may be real and may be important to urologists. And so that makes up the majority of that lift in R&D.
Thank you. And just a question on urologists. Is there any potential sort of resistance in terms of, you know, the bladder, your sex bladder tests being much cheaper and the urologist losing sort of revenue from their, you know, say doing cystoscopies?
No, it's an interesting question, Andrew, that we always held the perspective that urologists would be very keen to hang on to their cystoscopies because they make good revenue from them. However, what you're seeing in New Zealand is that there is a very strong recognition that none of these physicians wish to carry out cystoscopies on patients who don't need them. And so you see people, you see an organisation, the Waitemata District Health Board, they've taken their position to use CX Bladder Monitor on patients who would otherwise have received a cystoscopy, and they've deployed CX Bladder Monitor on all low-risk patients who are returning to the clinic for evaluation for recurrence. And that's about 70% of the patients. And if they were concerned about, you know, the cystoscopy component of them, of that income, they wouldn't be doing that. We get reminded regularly by, particularly by those guys that are at the forefront of these kind of the adoption, that the, you know, the cystoscopy is something that they can do. They have a limited capacity in any one day, and they prefer to deploy the cystoscopy on all the patients who actually need it. So we don't, we're not seeing that being a major impactor on our adoption cycle. A lot of the questions now are no longer about the clinical effectiveness and efficacy of these tests. It's more about where should they fit in their program and how do they get the administrative processes to work around that. And each of them have different processes. You know, we saw that it was quite a long process with the Canterbury District Health Board, a much shorter and sharper process with the Waitemata District Health Board, and there are other district health boards that are grappling with getting that product through. But as far as the urologists are concerned, they no longer have those questions about, you know, will it work, how effective is it, how accurate is it, and they see it being substituted. We published a clinical utility paper last year, and I'd encourage you to have a read of that. It's relatively easy to read, and there's less clinical jargon in there, but the messaging in there is very, very clear. When you provide these guys with these tools, they use them, and it makes a significant difference to their to the number of procedures that they use and the invasiveness of those procedures. Sorry, that was a bit of a long-winded answer, but...
No, I like long-winded answers like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the audio queue at this time.
We have one other online question here from Simon Wilson from Woodward. Simon asked the question, can you provide some more detail on where in the KP clinical pathway they will deploy Cxbladder? So that's a very good question. As you know, we did an extensive user program with Kaiser Permanente. We initially started out looking at Cxbladder triage, and then they asked us as we were partway through the program to evaluate Cxbladder detect. All of this, of course, is being undertaken in a blinded program, so we have no idea about what the true clinical outcome of these patients are. We run the test, collate all the data, and send the data back to them. We're very fortunate at the very end to also have had the ability to run Cxbladder Resolve in a blinded sense over all of these patients. So we actually gave them back. They got three bangs for the buck, I guess. They got triage, detect, and resolve all on the same patients. And we've got very positive results. They're very compelling. These tests performed right on the money. And so it really answered their questions quite categorically that, you know, any one of those tests or a combination of those tests could be used effectively at the front end of their business to defray some of the fixed costs that they have when they bring people in and scope them. And, you know, they gave us an indication that some of the administrative costs of these patients can be, you know, in excess of $240 just to bring them into the car park. So then subsequent to that, they've come back to us and they said that they would like to start the program with Cxbladder Monitor, which really quite surprised us. And so it looks like we'll start initially with Cxbladder Monitor and then we'll progress quite quickly to triage and some combination of triage and the other tests in the front end of the business. I hope that answers your question, Simon. Well, thank you all. That's some very good questions there, and hopefully we've answered those to your satisfaction. If not, please get in touch with us. More than happy to answer those questions. Emma, passing back to you.
Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. That will conclude today's call, and you may now all disconnect.